Look at the Word of God this morning. How about turning with me to Hebrews chapter 3? Hebrews chapter 3, we'll start with verse 12. And this is a sequel to last Sunday's message. Last Sunday we talked about the great falling away and some of the reasons why people fall away from the faith. And we concluded last week that one of the primary reasons that people fall away from the faith is they never really experienced the presence of the Lord. They never really knew Him. They knew about Him. They might have gone to church all their life and heard stories about Jesus, but they never came into a living reality of Jesus Christ being present in their life. And, you know, once you know Him, it's hard to turn your back on Him. It's not impossible. You know, Judas knew Him and turned his back on Him. But it's not impossible, but it's difficult if you had an experience with God to just fall away from that experience. Amen? And today I want to talk to you about being prepared for the future, the amazing future that God has for us. I've heard it from all kinds of pastors, evangelists, prophets and teachers and apostles. And they're all saying the same thing. When the fivefold ministry says the same thing, you ought to listen. And they're all saying the same thing, that the future of the church is greater than the past. Greater things are ahead of us. And we'll talk about that. But I want to read this verse. It says in Hebrews 3:12, take heed, brethren. Brethren, he's talking to Christians. And he's saying, watch out. Take heed means look out. Be aware. Be alert. Lest there be in any of you, talking to brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Say that with me. Evil heart of unbelief. He's warning believers to be on guard against an evil heart of unbelief. It's possible for believers to become unbelievers. And he says, here's how it manifests, in departing from the living God. Believers who fall into unbelief fall away from God. That's extremely important for you to know that. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if, big word, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. He's talking about when Israel really offended God and ticked Him off and He killed all of them. Y'all remember that story? He wanted them to go into the promised land. They wouldn't go into the promised land, and He made Him angry. They provoked God's anger by their unbelief. Only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, believed. They were allowed to go in 40 years later. But the mass of the people that God delivered out of Egypt because of their unbelief died in the wilderness. We don't want to die in the wilderness having fallen short of the promises of God. Over the last two decades in America, there has been a significant trend of Christians abandoning their belief in Jesus. This shift has led to a staggering 21 million people turning away from their faith in America. Just in America. It's a concerning development that warrants further exploration and understanding. Why or how and why could 21 million American Christians fall away in just two decades? Many of them are suffering for what I would call acute disappointment that's directed towards God Himself. They are offended at God. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." All right, this is after they had crossed over the Jordan River, finally. After that preceding generation had all died off, Joshua and Caleb, the remaining two elders in the whole community, led the people across the Jordan River miraculously. And this is Joshua's word to them. He said, "I want you to sanctify yourself or prepare yourself, because tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You see, the past, we got to leave the past on the other side of the river. There are all kinds of disappointments. Everybody experiences disappointments. But you can't let the past disappointments keep you from your marvelous future. Amen? Get ready to witness the amazing wonders and miracles that are coming your way. Don't let past disappointments steal the joy of what is to come. Stay prepared. Stay hopeful. And expect the unexpected. God's blessings are on the horizon, and it's time to embrace them with open arms. Can you say amen? In a world where the pursuit of the supernatural connection with God and a daring lifestyle is in your mind, and that's your choice to live in the supernatural. See, we're not like most Christians. Most Christians are content to live in the natural realm. And all they ask for God is a little bit of grace.
That's true.
But those of us who know God and know that He's working right now, and He's always working, He's always working right now, and He's working on our behalf. Can you say amen? We've been taught, and rightly so, that we have a supernatural God. And so we've been taught to expect the supernatural. Well, how many of you made a choice to live in the supernatural expectation? Well, that sets you up for disappointment. It does. The more you expect, the more you stick your neck out, the more you project into the supernatural of God, the more vulnerable you become to being disappointed. And disappointment will become your inevitable companion. Now, I'm not saying that to say it has to be that way. I'm just saying when you start following God, there's going to be days where you are disappointed. And you're even disappointed with God. Now, I want you to digest that for a second. I remember back a few years ago, sitting at the bedside of my dying wife. I had a big chair, kind of like one of these type of chairs. I had it sitting right next to the bed in our home. She's lying there fighting cancer. And I'm believing God to heal her. I remember sitting there, I prayed and fasted until I believed that, I believed on this particular night, it was going to happen. Because she was up against it. She's about to have to go back to the doctor because she was having recurring problems. And I knew that this was a desperate moment. And so I'm sitting there beside the bed. I sit right on the edge of that chair. And I stayed awake the whole night, and I'm staring at her, and I'm looking around the room. I'm expecting Jesus to walk into the room and touch her and raise her up, or at least an angel to come in. I'm just brimming, filled with expectation. Finally, she opened her eyes and looked at me and she said, "Would you go to bed? You're making me nervous." Jesus didn't come that night. And she wound up having to take her to the doctor, and he sent her to the hospital, and she had surgery, and she didn't recover and went on to be with the Lord. I was in shock. The shock of Norma's passing was intensified because I truly did not expect it. Are y'all listening to me? I had all my eggs in one basket. I was putting all of my energy and effort into believing God for a miracle healing that did not come. And she expected to be healed. My children expected her to be healed. You guys that were there expected her to be healed. We had guys come through and lay hands on her, prophesy, "You will live and not die," and declare his wondrous works. The only person I know of that did not prophesy that she would be healed was Don Normand. He told me later he knew she was going to die. But he didn't say anything because he didn't want to disappoint me. But I was disappointed. That is a gross understatement. I was really disappointed. And I was in shock, not just because she died, but because God didn't heal her. You talk about feeling left high and dry. I felt abandoned. I'll never forget, we went out of St. Vincent's Hospital, out into the front, and there's a bench there that faces the river. And we sat on that bench, we made our phone calls. And I remember sitting there, staring across the river, wondering what happened. And a rainbow suddenly appeared in the river. And I knew God was with me. I knew God was faithful, because that's what a rainbow signifies. It signifies the faithfulness of God. And I knew that God was with me. I knew that God was faithful. But that's all I knew. I could not explain what happened. I was disappointed. And I remained so for a long time. In order for me, over the last 57 years that I've been a pastor, in order for me to continue believing God, I've had to endure many disappointments. I've prayed for a lot of people to be healed that died. I've laid hands on a lot of sick people that didn't get well, they got worse. I've needed miracles from God that never came. You say, "Well, have you been able to endure 57 years of being a pastor?" Because I put my hopes in God for the people I pastor. Yes. I laid hands on Brenda this morning because she's got some pressure in her eye and she's going to the doctor to have that checked. And I laid hands on her, and I have full expectation that God's going to touch your eye, and that when you have that test, it's going to be normal. That's my expectation. And she says to me, "Is there something wrong with my faith?" And I said, "There's nothing wrong with your faith."
That's right.
Amen. There isn't.
There isn't.
But I want to tell you, how can, you know, what if she got disappointed? Is she going to get a heart filled with unbelief and fall away from God? Many do. But here's one thing I need to tell you about the last 57 years. I have laid hands on people who did get healed. I have prayed for people and the answer did come. I have had needs and God supplied them beyond my wildest imagination. I've seen God move in miraculous ways. I've rebuked tornadoes and hurricanes. And I've prayed for people who had the same cancer Norma had and they were healed. I've seen God open blind eyes, deaf ears. I've even seen people raised from the dead. I didn't raise them, but you know, I was there when it happened. We've got one such person sitting in this building with us right now, counting the offering. Y'all know Harold was raised from the dead. Amen. And we've seen miracles right here. I saw a man fall at my feet, and he had had his four ribs removed right over his heart. He was wearing a tight T-shirt, and you could see his heart beating. You could literally see the heart beating under his T-shirt. And he was slain in the spirit. After Jim Maloney laid hands on him, he laid on the floor right in front of me, right at my feet. And I sat there and watched those ribs grow back in and close up that gaping hole in his chest cavity. I know God is faithful, and I know God is powerful and does supernatural things. And so that's why I keep praying. That's why I keep believing. That's why I keep exercising faith, because I know that God does those things. And I have to push through the disappointments. Staying faithful in prayer and maintaining high expectations are crucial in witnessing healings and experiencing God's power. Allowing disappointments to take root in our hearts can hinder our faith and perception. Therefore, we need to hold on to hope and pray without ceasing and anticipate great things from a loving and powerful God as we press through the disappointments. I can't explain the disappointments, except that God is sovereign and He's almighty and He sees the whole picture. He's never late, He's always on time, and He never makes a mistake. Disappointed. A lot of people in the Bible suffered disappointments. Turn with me to Luke chapter 7. Y'all ever heard of John the Baptist? John the Baptist got disappointed in Jesus. Did y'all know that? He's the guy, when he saw Jesus coming, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Jesus asked him to baptize him in water, and he said, "I'm not worthy to even tie your shoes, much less baptize you in water." And Jesus persuaded him, and he baptized Jesus, and he saw the Holy Ghost come upon him. And God had prepared John the Baptist. When you see the Holy Spirit descending upon him, you'll know he's the Messiah. And so John was rejoicing that the Messiah had come. And he had great expectations, as all the other Jews did. He had those Jewish expectations of what the Messiah was going to do. Restore the kingdom of Israel. Deliver them from bondage to Egypt. And he was thinking of a king. He was thinking of a deliverer for the nation. And he gets arrested and thrown into prison. And he had time to sit there in the prison. That wasn't what John expected to happen to him. He had just declared the Messiah and baptized the Messiah in the Jordan. And for that, God allows him to be imprisoned. And so in verse 19 of Luke 7, it says, John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Can y'all hear the doubt? Can y'all hear the doubt? The disappointment? Can you hear and feel the pain? When the men had come to him, Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" At that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. And then Jesus answered them and said, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard." And I'll put in parentheses, "the things I am doing." Go tell John what I'm doing. Amen. That the lame walk, the blind see, The deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Jesus' message to John was, don't be offended at me. In the midst of disappointment and uncertainty, John finds himself grappling with questions about Jesus' actions. His anticipation of Jesus as a king and leader contrasts with the present reality of his own imprisonment. This introspective moment reflects John's struggle to reconcile his expectations with the unfolding events. You see, he was focused on what Jesus wasn't doing. And Jesus said, you need to look at what I am doing. If you want to be disappointed, if you want to lose faith and develop an evil heart of unbelief and risk falling away, start looking at what God is not doing. Those prayers that haven't been answered. Those miracles that didn't come. If you do that, you're going to lose faith. Yeah. You've got to focus on what Jesus is doing. Ruth mentioned that this report that came out about all these Ivy League college campuses breaking out in demonstrations, anti-Israel, anti-Jew demonstrations. And I told her, what you haven't seen is that college campuses all over the United States are breaking out in pro-Israel demonstrations. Southern Methodist University there in Dallas had this huge rally in support of Israel and the Jews. And it's happening all over the United States in other colleges and universities. All the news wants to focus on is the bad. And if you focus on the bad, you'll never see the good. That's why you need to watch One American News or Victory News or one of those news sources. You'll get a better balance. You're better off watching BBC or Al Jazeera than our news media. Our news media is so corrupt. They are the prophetic voice of the devil. Literally. And if you listen to them and focus on them, you're not going to see what God's doing. And if you don't see what God's doing, you're going to suffer disappointment and fear. And you'll fall away. Because you'll think God isn't doing anything. You'll think God has abandoned America. You'll think God has left you in the lurch. You got to keep your focus on what God is doing, not what he isn't doing. Amen. There are three reasons people get offended at Jesus. One, as I've just said, they focus on what he's not doing. And they raise questions. Instead of trusting, they question. Amen. You remember the story of Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died? And Jesus shows up, and what's the first thing they say? Lord, why weren't you here? What were they focusing on? They were focusing on what he did not do. He did not come rushing over and heal Lazarus. And they were offended at Jesus. They were upset. Lord, if you had been here, he would not have died. And Jesus said, he'll live again. And they said, yeah, someday in the by and by. But what about now? Jesus said, well, roll away the stone. He was in the process of raising Lazarus from the dead, and they were focusing on him not coming and healing him. You see, if you aren't careful, you'll miss what he's doing. Because you're asking questions that don't really matter because the answer is here. Why even bother to ask him, why didn't you come? when he came to raise Jesus, raise Lazarus from the dead. Amen? See, your questions don't need to take priority over God's work. How many of you ever heard of a guy named Ted Turner?
Oh, yeah.
The founder of Turner Broadcasting, you know, the guy that started CNN.
Yeah.
He probably owns, you know, he owns half of Montana and Wyoming. You know, he's bought up a lot of land. Him and Bill Gates basically own the whole West. Ted Turner was raised in an Assembly of God home. His parents were devout Christians. He was taken to Sunday school as a boy. But his sister, his little sister, got sick. And as a little boy, he went to God and he asked God to heal his little sister. And his little sister died. And he was disappointed. And so he turned his back on God and became a Christ rejecter, God hater, and one of the leading atheists in this country who founded a news outlet that tells nothing but lies. Constant negative news. His question was, Lord, why didn't you heal my sister? And since my sister died, why do I want to serve you? And he fell away. And listen, folks, I could spend the rest of our time here going, listing name after name after name after name after name of people who asked God to do something, and when God didn't do it, they rejected God. When questions are not answered, we need to press on anyway. It's been 20 years since Norma died, and I still don't know why. My questions have not been answered. Why did she die? Why did she die the way she died? Why did she die without getting healed first? I've got lots of questions. Why did it have to happen to me? You ever ask that question? Why me, Lord? I don't have answers to any of those questions. I had to make up my mind to just leave the answers and press on. Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown. Look at verse 1. It says, Mark 6, verse 1, when he went out from there and came to his own country, his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? They asked questions. They were astonished at his wisdom. And they asked, where did he get it? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? They want to know, how did he do those miracles? Where did you get that wisdom, and how are you doing those miracles? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. You know why they were offended at him? He was full of wisdom and power, and they couldn't figure out where he got it. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. That sounds like the modern Pentecostal church.
Right.
You can do no mighty works there, but you can get a few people healed. I don't want it to sound like our church.
No.
That God can't do any mighty works here. He can heal a few people. But you see, unbelief hinders the work of God. We do know there are a lot of things that don't happen we want God to do that don't happen because of our unbelief.
That's right.
How come it is we don't believe? Because we want to know all the details. We want to know the hows, the whens, the highs, and whys. And we don't get our questions answered, so we doubt. We elevate our questions above His mighty power. We need to change that. We need to make our questions less important and His mighty power more important. They were amazed at His teaching but could not believe in His ability to heal. Knowledge, and you need to listen to this carefully, knowledge that is not linked to God's power results in legalism and unbelief. And what do most people, most religious people seek after? Knowledge. They and their pursuit of knowledge or answers to their questions. Did you know that most psychiatrists have their own psychiatrist?
Oh, yeah.
Most therapists have their own therapist. You know why? What drove them into that profession was unanswered questions. And they went into that profession seeking knowledge, having that question why answered, and they turned it into a profession for themselves, and they're sitting in front of people who have questions, and they have more questions than the people have that they're selling their services to. If you want answers, and you're in that, and that takes priority over everything else, you're gonna pursue knowledge, but you're never gonna come to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
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 Remember what Luke wrote in the first chapter and first verse of the book of Acts? He says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." You see, we've got to have that combo. We got to have His teachings, but we also got to have His doings. And if you separate the teachings from the doings, then you fall into legalism, and legalism leads to unbelief, and unbelief leads into a falling away. That's why all of these Ivy League schools I just mentioned started out as seminaries and have wound up as houses of atheism. And most Bible schools and schools of theology in America today have professors that are unbelievers, because they have elevated knowledge above the power of God. The hardest person to get healed is a Bible school professor. 1 Corinthians 4:20, the Apostle Paul said, "The kingdom of God is not in word or answers, but in power." Amen? We want answers, yes, and we keep asking those questions, but while you're waiting for the answers, which may not come till you get to heaven, but I promise you, the moment you wake up in heaven, all those answers will be there. So don't worry about the answers to your questions. Just keep on searching for God and experiencing His power in your life. They got offended in Nazareth because their questions were not answered. And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. There's only two things that ever amazed Jesus. One, extraordinary faith. And two, unbelief in the face of evidence. That's the message He sent back to John the Baptist. Tell him what you saw me do. That's evidence. And if you can't believe me in the face of evidence, then you are an unbeliever. The Bible says all unbelievers will have their part in the lake of fire.
Uh-oh.
Here's something you may not know. the journey of great healing ministers over the last 100 years, people like John G. Lake, Mary Woodworth Eder, Oral Roberts, T.L. Osborne, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman, and many others. Their ministries have been a testament to the power of faith and determination. By going past their questions and pressing through to the supernatural power of God, they've inspired countless individuals and shown that miracles are possible. As we continue to move forward, we need to carry on their legacy and remain steadfast in our belief in the extraordinary. What am I saying? Every one of these people had to overcome great obstacles in their lives. They had to push past unanswered prayers and say, well, I don't care. I'm going on with God anyway. John G. Lake, his wife, died in Africa. Oral Roberts lost two of his children in tragic accidents. T.L. Osborne lost Daisy. Smith Wigglesworth lost Mrs. Wigglesworth. He raised her from the dead and she yelled at him. Said, I was already in heaven. Let me go and leave me alone. And she laid back down and died again, and he didn't raise her up. He learned his lesson. But he had to push on without her. Catherine Kuhlman died of heart disease after a divorce and a whole lot of criticism. John Osteen died of heart disease. Kenneth Hagin died of heart disease 60 years after the doctor said he would die. Remember, when he was a teenager, he was on his deathbed with the heart disease. And God raised him up. By faith, he got up, declared he was healed, preached faith and healing for the rest of his life, and then in his late 80s, he died of a heart attack. But I learned a lot about faith from that man. Amen. All of these people died of something. This week, Kenneth Copeland, who's 86 years old, 87, had to be rushed to the hospital for an emergency appendectomy. And they cut his appendix out, sent him home. He's fine. Well, great man of faith, had appendicitis. Well, I'm never going to listen to anything that guy has to say again. No, I'm going to listen more. Because I found out he's human. Hallelujah. He knows what it feels like to hurt a little bit. They said while he's in the hospital, he's singing. While he was out on Novocaine or something, he's singing and speaking in tongues. He wakes up, he's prophesying over the doctors and nurses. They said he was a joy and a delight. Jerry Savelle passed away. He had a heart attack, sudden massive heart attack. But come to find out, you know, the doctor's been wanting to do a heart procedure on him since 2018. Well, in 2018 he had a stroke. And God healed him of that stroke. That's a story in itself. God healed him of that stroke. But while he was in the hospital, they discovered he had something wrong with the heart and they wanted to do some surgery. And so they scheduled it for 2020. And in 2020, you know, all surgeries were canceled because of COVID. So his surgery was canceled and just postponed. And he just kept up his rigorous schedule, kept preaching around. And his wife and daughters, they tried to get him to reschedule his surgery. And he's just too busy, you know, preaching the gospel. And then so that Monday morning, he got up, sent some emails out, and sent an email to his office saying, so-and-so is going through a hard time, send him a check. You know, he's just giving orders like normal. And but when his young men came to escort him to the airport, they found him dead. Well, I'm flipping through Facebook, you know, and this video comes up. This preacher somewhere is saying, I told you those faith preachers were false. It didn't work for Jerry Savelle. Look, he died. I'm thinking, give me a break. We're all going to die. But this guy, he couldn't wait to jump on the bandwagon of destroying people's faith and what this man of faith preached. You got to look past the things like that. Everybody in the ministry today, it lives in human flesh, and they have problems and they experience disappointments. Amen. I could stand here and talk all day about what Jim Maloney went through. In his family, in his personal finances, in his ministry, and in his own physical body. And while he was going through the depths of it, with questions galore, God's using him to heal people and perform signs and wonders, because Jim Maloney never lost faith in the supernatural. He believed in the power of God. And when he's standing there with a patch over his eye and a cap pulled down over his scarred skull and hardly able to stand up, he's preaching faith in God, and people are jumping out of wheelchairs and arms are growing out and miracles are taking place. I know I was there. Ruth and I were in his prayer line helping him pray for people. And we saw miracle after miracle after miracle from this guy with a patch over one eye. You gotta go past those questions, people, because the questions breed unbelief. Job had a lot of questions. Man, the whole book of Job is question after question after question. Finally, God says, I've had enough. Job 38:1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And then he went on. Where were you when I measured out the oceans? Where were you? What right do you have to ask God those kind of questions? Well, fortunately, Job repented and said basically the same thing Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Have you ever heard of Pastor Bill Johnson, Bethel Church in Redding, California? You know, his wife, Betty, died recently of cancer. And he's continued preaching, continues traveling, continues seeing miracles and healings in his ministry. And he was at a Bible school, and one of the Bible school students asked him, how are you able to go on seeing that your wife died? And he said, I don't know why, but here's what I do know. I can give God a gift of worship now that I cannot give him when I get to heaven. I worship him through my pain and my unanswered questions. What an answer. Let me say again. I can give God a gift of worship that I cannot give him in heaven. I worship him through my pain and unanswered questions. You got to choose to let go of your questions and allow God to work wonders through you. Remember, it's not just about the questions you have, but about how you can make a positive impact by moving past them. The worst ones are those unexpected, desperate prayers. unanswered desperate prayers. Most people have little or no expectation from God because they go to a church that never speaks of the supernatural or of the healing power of God. But not so with us. We go to a church where that's all they want to talk about. What God can do and what God is doing. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." See, deferral makes the heart sick. That's when you're the most vulnerable in your walk with God. You've got to know that in advance. Deferral makes your heart sick. And when your heart's sick, temptation comes to grow bitter and angry. Don't lose your faith in God. When prayers are answered, it fills you with joy, doesn't it? So when you're going through a period of time where it doesn't look like your prayers are being answered, or at least not right away, you need to not focus on that. You need to focus on all the times God did answer your prayers and on the testimonies of others and encourage yourself in God. Amen? You need to move back into faith, away from disappointment. John 15:11, Jesus said, "The things I've spoken to you are that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." He's talking about answered prayers. God wants to answer prayers. He's promised to answer prayers. But you've got to repent of your own thinking. What does that mean? It means you've got to think about these things differently. Instead of taking personal offense at God, trust God. Trust Him with the outcome. Be honest with God. Don't tell Him you believe Him when you don't. Be honest. Be like the man who says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Amen? What did it mean? He meant, "Lord, I do believe. Take hold of my unbelief." Ask God. Be honest with God and ask God for help. And then listen to Him when He talks to you. Read the scriptures that apply to your situation. And find out what God says about it. Encourage yourself in the Word of God, but only as that Word raises your expectations for His power to manifest. Some people look at the Word of God trying to find where God answers. No, you can't have it. That's how they interpret Paul's thorn in the flesh. But that's not the correct interpretation. That's another sermon. But God, Jesus never told him no. He said, "My grace, my involvement, my coming into your situation is more than enough." God says, "I may not answer the way you want me to, but the way I do answer is better than the way you wanted me to answer." And then you've got to accept God's peace. Why? Because Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What does it mean to surpass all understanding? The peace of God is beyond your intellect. If you've elevated knowledge above His power, you'll never have peace. You'll be one miserable cuss. I've met a few. Can't tell them anything. They know everything. But they're unhappy because they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth, which is manifested through the Holy Spirit of truth where power resides. Amen? So you've got to accept God's peace that goes beyond your questions being answered. Focus on what God is doing. Through books, testimonies, read the biographies of these people that I just mentioned here. I'll tell you what, I cut my faith teeth on reading Kenneth Hagin's Power of Prayer booklet, paperback, 8x10 paperback book, just black, single spaced, where he just gives the testimony of his healing. They're still available. You can get videos. You can get audios of all of these people. They even have Smith Wigglesworth books in audio version. You can listen to them. And I'll tell you what, you listen to Smith Wigglesworth, you'll get full of faith. Quit listening to things that kill your faith. Anytime I go through YouTube videos or anything, and I see some guy stand up there and he starts talking about how all these things have ceased, passed away, we're living in a different age, and miracles and signs and wonders are not for today, I shut him off. Might as well be listening to the devil.
That's right.
Yeah. And some of them got big names. Some of them have made millions selling their books. But I pity the poor fools that read them. Because they're being led away from the power of God. Be thankful. While you focus on what God is doing, thank Him.
Yes.
Praise Him.
Amen.
Amen. You see revival on campus of Asbury,
yes,
University?
Yes,
don't criticize it. Don't wish it was here. Wishing doesn't do any good. Don't find some kind of fault with it. Just praise God that He's pouring out His Spirit upon those young people. Amen. Rejoice in other people's victories. You'll have victories. Why? Because thanksgiving is the key that unlocks the gates of heaven. Enter His gates with what? Thanksgiving is the key. Quit grumbling, murmuring, and complaining. All that will do is open up the ground for you to be swallowed up. I'm not trying to get into the ground. I'm trying to approach God in heaven.
Yeah.
And the key to heaven is thanksgiving.
Yes,
so praise Him. Be thankful to Him. Bless His name. Job's wife came to him and said, why don't you just give up and curse God and die? Whoa. Well, don't be so hard on her. A lot of people's wives have said that to their husbands. And vice versa. Person that's supposed to stand with you in agreement, all of a sudden is saying, eh, God doesn't know you're alive. Just give up. No, you got to press through that.
Yeah.
And he said a very faith-filled, erroneous thing. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God had no intention of slaying him. God wasn't going to slay him. God even told Satan, you can't kill him. But he said, even though God slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, blessed be the name of the Lord, whatever the outcome. Amen. You remember that, you know, we talked about the three Hebrew children last week. How they said, you know, we're not going to bow. We're not going to worship your God or your idol. And if you throw us in the fire, God's able to deliver us. And if He doesn't, so what? We're still not going to worship you. They took a stand for God. And Jesus stood with them in the fire. and delivered them from the fire while they were still in the fire. And I guess, you know what? If you're taking a stand for Jesus and you get some fire, look around. Jesus will be walking in the fire with you. There's a song that Norma used to sing a lot. He's still in the fire. Amen. And he is. Whatever you're going through, Jesus said he would be with you. That's what I was preaching last week. Whatever, wherever you go, Jesus is with you. So praise him always. Amen. And always ask big again. Don't quit asking for big things. Be hungry for more. And get yourself ready for your amazing future. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, stand with me. I want you to just shout unto God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We trust you, Lord Jesus, with everything concerning us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I want you to turn to two or three people around you, and I want you to tell them, look them in the eye and say, get ready for amazing things.
Get ready for amazing things.